As best as they can. Yesterday we talked about the idea of Bechira Chafshis, and what's interesting is I had not remembered this. The Rambam, I saw in the Pirush HaMishnayos this morning, when I was preparing this Mishnah, that he made a connection that I had thought of. Maybe I thought of it because I had remembered without remembering exactly that he had said this. But the next Mishnah, what we'll talk about today, also very much highlights the theme of Bechira Chafshis. Hu Haya Omer, so this is still Rabbi Akiva, so it's the same train of thought. Hakol Nasan Be Ravon. Now, a Ravon means a collateral in general. Here, it's a little bit different. A Ravon, like we come up with Yehuda and Tamar, that Yehuda can't pay Tamar right away, so he gives her collateral to hold on to until he's able to send the Gdi, and of course, she's disappeared, quote unquote. Hakol Nasan Be Ravon is a way of saying that everything in life, our lives itself, constitute a kind of a collateral, right? That God is going to take them back. Elokai Neshamash and Asata Bi, Torahi. So, there's a great net over life. It's a metaphor, obviously, but it means, don't think that you're going to escape. The net is over the entire world. So, everybody's caught in this web. The store is wide open. And he's lending out the money. The capital is flowing. There's access to get. It's not like now, you know, the interest rates are so high, nobody wants to borrow. Hapinkas pasuach, but he writes everything down. The store owner, v'ayad koseves, v'chol arot salovos yavo v'yolva. Right, you know, no credit, no income. Back to 2008, they called the ninja loans. Right, no income, no credit. You can still, you know, get a loan, but you have to pay up. V'agaboy machzirin tadir b'chol yom. But the collectors are also circling around, and sometimes they insist that a person pays up, and he remembers, and he says, oh yeah, I really did borrow that 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years ago, whatever it was. And sometimes, shalom midato, people don't even remember what their accounts are. But the thing is that gabayim, they come, and they have their records, and they show you, yeah, I remember that, September 3rd, 75, you know, now we're coming to collect on that one. V'hadin din emes, it's all true. V'akol mesukan l'seuda, and everything is available. Some of the Meforishim interpret this to mean that kol yisrael yeshon l'chilek l'olam haba, even if there are certain averos that a person got involved in, others talk about, you know, there's an opportunity here. Akol mesukan l'seuda. So the point is that Hashem gives us a very wide berth here in this world. And if we're fortunate enough every single day to have life, we're going to make a lot of choices. Some of those choices will be good, hopefully most of them. Unfortunately, it's in the nature of things that sometimes we don't make the right choice. And when we don't make the right choice, and the important thing is to understand that we're accountable for that, that we're responsible for that, and we're put on notice. That's what this Mishnah is telling us, that ultimately we're not going to have to answer for things that never took place. We're not going to have to answer for things that somebody else might have done. We're going to answer for our own account, our own ledger. And a person will think to themselves, well, not me, right? You know, Shalom Yali, Ki Bishrirus Libi Eileich, as the Pasuk says in Nitzavim. And the answer is no. Mitzuda Prusal Kol Achayim, there's a net that, you know, extends, a web that entangles everybody. There's no way to escape this. So the only thing to do is to acknowledge it, and then, you know, hopefully to live life accordingly. Just one concluding thought, since we saw two Mishnayos in a row of Rabbi Kiva, and of course we'll be in, you know, Tiyantiv tomorrow. It's so interesting to me, because when you think about Rabbi Kiva, you think about somebody, speaking of free choice, whose life, you know, was so different than he would have imagined till a relatively mature age, till 40 years old. You know, he had really very little to do with the world of Jewish learning. The Gemara does indicate in one place, Mali Utsnui, that he had, you know, fine character. But basically he knew nothing. And he was totally unlettered. And he, you know, radically transformed himself into a person that we're still talking about today. You know, the Rabbi Akiva, one of the greatest of the all-time, you know, whatever, you know, first ballot, you know, Hall of Famers, unanimous, Rabbi Akiva is on anybody's list. And the point is that, you know, he knew of what he spoke. He understood that Bechira is far-reaching and that people make choices. And this wasn't like, you know, he was Na'adore Shveno Na'im Mekayim. You know, Rabbi Akiva is one of, on the short list of just a handful of examples of somebody who really took life into his own hands, carpe diem, and he became, you know, somebody that you know, lasted for all of the generations, became immortal in his own way, but it didn't have to happen. And, you know, Rabbi Akiva's own personal transformation became the clear source of inspiration for these Mishnayos, which talk about how we can, of course, take responsibility for ourselves, not just, you know, in the micro sense of every little action, which is also true, but in the macro sense, what is the broader direction of our lives? They can't think of a better way to go into Zman Matan Taraseinu than to think about what an opportunity presents itself. And if you doubt, you know, say, well, I didn't come from the right family and I didn't go to the right yeshiva or whatever it is, neither did Rabbi Akiva. And he represents the apotheosis of this idea of, you know, we make our own destiny, Rabbi.